Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
We have no guests this week. We're digging into our mailbag, and we've also requested our listeners to chime in. And you have responded. Some of the questions sent in are quickies, taking a minute or less to cover. Others are more involved, and others we're just going to plain ignore. Some of the questions have been addressed before in one way or another, but very few of our listeners have caught every episode. So some of these questions may sound like a repeat to you, but hopefully for other of our listeners, it's going to be new. It turned out we have so many questions from you that we're taping two shows back to back. If you like what you're hearing this week, you're going to get more of the same next week. Now, it's going to be longer than usual between episodes. I just learned today that there's going to be an extra leap second added to 2016 just before midnight, Greenwich Mean Time, this Saturday night. I hope this extra delay to get our next episode doesn't stress you out too greatly. All right. Richard, you have a shout out to a friend you wanted to give.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to issue a very special thank you to a listener, Fubster, who has helped me edit some shows, helped us with technical problems, and just sent some lapel microphones to us, which I haven't really figured out how to get working properly yet, but hopefully it'll improve the sound quality of the show in the future. So big thank you to Fubster.
All right. We also have an announcement about Las Vegas Advisor. We're actually taping in their office right now, and our gamblingwithedge.com is on the LVA site. Every year they have a members reward book that's available January 2nd. However, they're having printing problems that may or may not get solved before then. So you may want to call before you show up here the first week of January. Phone number is 702-252-0655. In next week's show, Anthony's going to be on briefly telling us what goodies can be found in that book.
Yeah, apparently a lot of people show up the very first week of January to get that book. So,
if they're already in town and they're only going to make two trips a year or something, if they're going to use those coupons, you better do it now or you lose a chance. Our first question is from gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. It goes as follows. I'm fortunate to have some good video poker at my local casino, which happens to be the Prescott Isle Downs and Casino in Erie, Pennsylvania. The machines are mostly all 9-6. I primarily play double bonus poker and have a limited budget, so I'm trying to get the best bang for my buck. I know the odds of filling a hand are different depending on how many coins you play, one or max, but which scenario is better for me? $1 machine, one coin at a time, or 25-cent machine, five coins at a time?
Well, there's an oddity there where he said how did he phrase it? Whatever, I mean, go ahead.
And for sure I'm going to address that.
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, 9-6 is a good pay table for jacks or better, but not so good for double bonus. The game either returns 97.8 or 96.4, depending on whether you get 5-for-1 or 4-for-1 for the straight. Both games should be avoided if you're serious about winning. The question of whether to play dollar single coin or 25-cent five coins is a separate issue. If the games are the same pay schedule, max coin quarter games is going to be higher returning by between 1.5% and 2%. Definitely play that. If the dollar game is a better pay schedule, it's possible that the $1 single coin has a higher return. You're going to have to check that using Video Poker for Winners or some other software. to figure that out. However, if you're playing dollar single coin, there will be times that you get a royal flush and receive $250 for a single coin dollar royal. Anyone who passes by will very kindly tell you what an idiot you are for only playing one coin, and you have just given up the $4,000. Now, some players can shrug that off and be comfortable in the fact that the way they're playing is actually higher EV. Others second-guess themselves right and left and are miserable about it for a long time. What kind of player are you? One of the premises of your question is wrong, as Richard started to allude to, or at least misphrased. You said that the odds of filling a hand are different depending on how many coins you play. This is not true. The machine is dealing in the cards randomly. What is true is that the strategy is different depending on whether you're getting 250 for one for the royal flush or 800 for one. One common type of strategy deviation is when you're dealt a suited Jack 10 along with a king of another suit. Depending on the game and also depending on the other two cards in the hand, if you're getting full credit for the royal flush, you tend to go for Jack 10 more often. If you're getting only the smaller amount for the royal flush because you're betting one coin, you tend to go for King Jack. So the resulting hand distribution is different. The fact that you think 9-6 double bonus is a good game means that you're not a very competent video poker player. Since you asked my opinion, even though you're not liking what you're hearing, I suggest you learn the games better, build up your bankroll, and wait until you find a better game to play. Playing games as tight as the ones you're reporting is a guaranteed way never to build up your bankroll, because you're going to keep giving your money to the casino. Also, according to VP Free 2, which is not a perfect source of information about casinos, but it's a good place to start, the best dollar double bonus game at that casino is 9-7 rather than 9-6. Trying to figure out which version of 9-6 to play and ignoring the better game is the wrong question. Perhaps your scouting needs to be more comprehensive. Richard, did you want to add it on to my dumping on this guy or not?
Well, no, I don't want to dump on the guy. So my feeling is you don't have the bankroll to actually have an advantage so that you know that you're just gambling, right? And if you're just gambling, then you might as well do the best possible, which would be to maybe you like to sit in the casino and drink. So maybe that's what you're there for and play that machine and have some entertainment. But since you're not a winning player, and since it doesn't matter what you play to get your free drink, I would move down to playing either single quarter or better might even be single nickel if they have nickel machines. Bet one nickel, get your free drinks, have your fun. I mean, and because, as I say, you're not there to be a winning player anyway. So presumably you're there for the ambiance and maybe the free drinks. So that's what I would focus on, and I would bet as little as possible.
Very good. So far, Richard and I are on the same page on these questions. My guess is that's going to vary after a while. Next thing I want to talk about isn't a question from a listener, but it's something that happened to me almost 25 years ago. And I want Richard's take on it. Back then, I was trying to make a move from Greater Los Angeles to Las Vegas, and I was a blackjack player. I wanted to bring a girlfriend with me, but not so surprisingly, picking up and moving to Vegas from Los Angeles to chase my dream wasn't that appealing to most of the girls I knew. Finally, a girl I called Jenny in my $1 million video poker autobiography said yes. We'd made several trips to Vegas to practice our system, and she decided she would pack up and move with me. Jenny was in her mid to late 30s at the time. Born in Taiwan, and had lived in the United States for maybe 5 years. Primarily, we played casino promotions where we had to play 4 hours a day at nickels or dimes or something like that. And they'd give us $100 or so in benefits at the end. It was subsistence living. And we cashed a lot of 7-for-5 and 10-for-5 coupons along the way. But that's what we did. Anyway, we'd play side by side. I would count cards and instruct her how to play the hands. She used a 10-count system and would signal when to take insurance. The problem arose when we kept going back to the same casinos over and over again to play these programs. And I would keep telling her how to play the hands. Since she knew basic strategy cold, and she was, she felt she was losing face with the dealers because it looked like she didn't know what she was doing. I explained it was all an act, trying to keep our welcome, and what the dealers in Pitt thought about her intelligence was totally irrelevant. Jenny didn't see it that way. She felt I was humiliating her with this playing style. Eventually, she left Vegas and went back to Los Angeles, largely for other reasons. So, Richard, how should I have dealt with Jenny's perceived loss of face?
There's a very simple solution for this that also would make you look better to the casino. And that is, you be the dumb one. So, you tell her to do things that are wrong, and she, being the headstrong Chinese woman who knows about the gods of gambling, tells you, no, I'm going to make my play. You know, even though you insist that's the wrong play, she's going to make her play instead. And then she can feel like the smart one. The casino can see that you're clearly an idiot because you're telling her to do the wrong things. And she's happy. The casino's happy. And there you go.
I don't like that. It would cause me to lose face.
Yeah, well.
Now, that would be interesting. Although most of the time, such as, you know, keep hitting until you get 17, given the dealer's up card, it's going to be the right information. But so we would have to have some kind of system.
Well,
that
no,
she
if,
would
if
know
right,
when.
Say the dealer has an 8 up, so you're going to hit till you get 17. Well, if you tell her to stop on 15 and she's like, you know, no, I feel lucky or whatever, then you're telling her the wrong play. She's getting to make the right play.
But there are times, if I'm counting, that stopping on 15 is the right play against an 8, although not too often.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So there has to be some...
Yeah, you'd have to have some sort of signal that meant maybe you always tell her the opposite play or something. I don't know. You could easily come up with a simple signal that would mean deviate from basic strategy that wasn't verbal, right? So you take a drink, it means deviate from basic strategy. She knows to stand with her 15 against a 9 or whatever.
That would have worked fine, I think. I think she still would have gone back to Los Angeles.
Well, yeah,
oh, well.
That's another problem.
The next from a listener.
By the way, I just want to, this has come up recently in my life with a couple of people I know, and I just want to say, if you are a professional gambler, or you're, or even a part-time advantage gambler, and you have a girlfriend that is telling you to change jobs, that is not the girl for you. Just leave, because it just never works. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, that could be one of your practice girlfriends.
Right, right.
Okay, unfortunately, sometimes guys pick up this habit after being married 10 years. And getting rid of the wife, especially if there's kids involved, can have consequences.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a big problem. That is a big problem. But... It never works when, you know, when you're involved with somebody who just doesn't understand it and wants you to change your career for them.
Yes. All right. Moving on. This is a question. A guy wants to know about sports. I hope Richard has a better answer than I do because I don't have any answer for this. He asks, how do I get started in sports handicapping on Microsoft Excel? The books are really limited. Thanks. Good luck, Richard.
Yeah, right. So I have no idea what Microsoft Excel has to do with anything. And as he, first of all, I don't bet sports, so my answer is limited. But several of the people on our show have mentioned Wong's book, Sharp Sports Betting. So at the very least, I would start there. I don't know what you would use your Excel for other than to maybe keep track of your wins and losses for your taxes. You know, there are two ways of approaching beating sports betting, I think, right? At least two. But the two kind of basic ways are to either, A, be a handicapper and come up with a better line than what the books do, or B, chase the lines and try to find bad prices. And I don't think you have to know a lot about sports to do the latter. So that's about the extent of my knowledge. So good luck with that.
All right. Turns out I could have answered that question as good as Richard. All right.
I should say that if you're interested in baseball, there's apparently a good book called The Book. So you might look at that if you're interested in baseball.
Huh. When I went to Sunday school decades ago, there was another one they called The Book. But okay. Another one for Richard. The gleaming new MGM National Harbor Casino and Resort has six to five blackjack tables. What do you think about that?
Why is that even a question? Why wouldn't they have 6 to 5 blackjack tables? It seems everybody is moving in that direction, so...
And their lines going out the door?
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't surprise me in the least. And I think we'll continue to see that trend. Over 50% of the blackjack tables on the Las Vegas Strip are 6 to 5. I had a friend in town recently who told me he went into the MGM, sat down a 6-deck game, was playing away until all of a sudden he got paid 6 to 5 on his blackjack. And he just couldn't believe that on a 6-deck shoe, they were paying to 6 to 5, but they're doing it on continuous shuffling machines. They have 6 to 5 games that are double 10, 11 only. Talk about really being gross. But hey, if you're going to put a triple zero roulette in, 6 to 5 is a bargain, right?
So. All right. Now, I predicted more than a month ago that the biggest danger to gamblers from having Mr. Trump as president might be in the area of civil forfeiture. Trump is pro-police and not very concerned about civil rights. In a recent article in the Washington Post, George Will wrote that the nominated incoming Attorney General, Alabama Senator Jeffrey Sessions, has spoken out very much in favor of civil forfeiture. This article may be found if you check the tweets at RWM21. And I know the guy who sends out those tweets.
Or at the Gambling with an Edge Facebook page. I post them there too. So it's probably easier to find on the Facebook page than.
All right. This next question that I'm going to answer before Richard gets a chance, and then he can respond later. And his question is Richard's ping pong table still in his living room? So I'm going to go for it first and say, I'm not sure. He has two fairly large rooms near the entryway of his house. One is probably called a living room, and one is probably called a family room. The table is in one of them. Now, anybody who keeps a ping pong table in his living room is a better player than I am. So I have never challenged Richard or his sons to a game. I am willing, however, to compete against his wife. Nelia doesn't strike me as a ping pong sharp. So, Richard, what room is it in?
Oh, no, it's still there, although I probably haven't played in 6 months. My sons don't really play, and I haven't had anybody come by who plays. So, as I say, I haven't played in 6 months. We actually had to fold the table up at Thanksgiving because we needed two dining room tables. And it's still folded at the moment because I haven't had need to unfold it. So it is there. Hopefully somebody will come by one of these days and I'll get to play again. So.
I think he's trying to sucker me into a game. But all right, we'll see. Now, another question from the same person is, how would you approach a host asking for some kind of deal, perhaps a rebate on losses? Like at a place you don't frequent, but maybe planning a trip or haven't played in quite a while. Now, as for me, I'm not the right person to ask about this. I'm well enough known by casinos. Special deals are not really likely for me. Many casinos feel I should count my blessings that they let me play there unrestricted and have no interest in sweetening the pot for me. So I don't generally ask for special deals. Richard, how do you do it?
Well, if you're talking about a loss rebate, you need to be bringing in, excuse me, a minimum of $100,000 in front money or credit. And what I would do is I would call Steve Sear. He'll probably love me giving out his name like this on the air. But Steve Sear calls himself the super host. He's been a guest on the show a couple of times, two or three times. And he's an independent host. So I would call him and say, I'm looking to make a trip. I have $100,000 or $250,000 or whatever. And I'm looking for, you know, who's going to give me a loss rebate. And because he's an independent host, he knows the deal. He knows what you're after, you know. So that's the way I would approach it. I would not approach it at a big chain place on the strip, like an MGM property or a Caesars property, unless you have a long history there with a very large lifetime loss, and maybe you got some kind of deal like that in the past. But to try to, those deals are harder and harder to get, mainly because of guys like Don Johnson, who's been on the show talking about it. But anyway, so that's my advice. I would call Steve Sear.
And the only other advice on that I would do to help you make it work is to be Asian. That helps.
Yeah, that will help. Or actually, any foreign passport would help. But you get 2x or 3x multiplier if you're Asian.
All right. Now, here's a question for you, Richard. Have you ever delved into VP, video poker? And what are your experiences so far in terms of practice, playing, negative, positive, results, whatever?
Well, I have started playing a little bit of video poker in the last couple of years since I moved to town. I played a little bit last year. And, you know, it's kind of boring, and so I didn't do a lot of it. But now my older son is interested and has started playing a little bit, so I've started playing a little bit more. I go out with him and his girlfriend sometimes, which makes it a lot more pleasant to if you have people to talk to while you're playing and help each other, you know, grind through it. I would much rather play for 2 hours, have three of us playing for 2 hours on one person's card and go back two more times for the other two people than have to put in a 6 hour session myself, which I just won't do it. I, you know, I'd rather stick needles in my eye than play 6 hours straight of video poker. My back starts to hurt after about the 2 hour mark. So, you know, and I have to say, my wife really enjoys the comps. So, although
what a surprise.
Yeah, although the $1.49 breakfast at the Klondike that she gets comped, she's not that impressed with that. But no, at the strip properties and stuff, she does like the comps and stuff. So, you know, I enjoy it, but I'm not trying to make, you know, a super amount of money at it. But I think, you know, there are places where you can still make, you know, $50 or $100 an hour.
Well, that is true. I wish I had more of those. The next question was for me, and that was, how many hours of strictly playing do I put in per month on average, not include practice, research, scouting, analyzing games, travel, or any of that? Strictly time on a machine in the casino. And for me, this varies. In 2016, we're at the end of that. There were months I only played 20 hours from the whole month, and the other months I played a lot more than 100 hours. It depends on what promotions are being run and what games are available at which casinos and where I'm welcome to play. I played at Palm before it was taken over by Stations. Since they took it over October 1st, I haven't even been in the door. That kind of thing affects the number of hours that you play. A follow-up question to that one was, how many hours do I put in per month on everything else, which would be practice, research, etc., that a regular advantage player would do, which would mean not including book writing, seminars, classes, gambling with an edge stuff, etc.? My answer to that is I probably spend 5 to 10 hours a week practicing, scouting, and doing similar stuff, which is in some months more than I play.
Now, wait, is that aside from picking up free play or picking up, I mean, because a lot of times you're going to pick something up and you're also there to scout, kind of, right? Or...
Yeah, there is that. And I haven't really, you know, the driving back and forth is kind of a waste of time, but you got to do it.
Right, yeah.
And for me, there isn't a clear dividing line between the time I spend preparing to play and the time I spend writing articles or preparing and teaching classes.
How often do you go out to a place that you're not currently playing just to go scout and see what might be available? And does that happen very often?
That goes in cycles. There are times that in 1 month, I'll hit 30 different places that I'm not currently playing. And there might be 3 or 4 or 5 months and I don't hit any.
Wait, are there 30 places that you're not currently playing that you would be allowed to play?
Yes.
Left in Las Vegas?
Yeah, if you're including... Huh. Without giving up a whole lot, there are small bars in Vegas with they're limited to 15 machines. And on occasion, under the right circumstances, they have plays I'd be interested in. Normally, these places have 96% games. But sometimes there's something or some promotion. These places are more likely to have promotions where the slot director, who's the same guy who owns the bar, is arithmetically challenged, and rather than the slot directors that the strip has, have been through the works and they're been doing it for years and they're reasonably well qualified. Sometimes just owning a bar does not make you qualified to run a good promotion.
So, I got a card in the mail from one of those bars. Actually, it was a bar that I almost bought 30 plus years ago. Now it's called something like the Blue Dog or something like that.
The Blue Dog. Don't know it.
On Tropicana and Pecos.
Okay, and not too far from where you live.
Right. It just came in the mail randomly, and it was a free $100. So I did. I stopped by and played it the one time through or whatever to pick it up.
Cashed out your $80 and left.
Yeah, although, it was kind of a skeezy bar, and I probably shouldn't say that on the air, huh? Anyway, and smoky, that's the other problem with bars, is they're smoky. I can see where if you made a habit of running around to all those little places, you might find every once in a while, just like casinos, you walk into some place and they're paying 2 to 1 on blackjack or something stupid, so.
Okay. But as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted by Richard.
As I want to do.
There isn't a clear dividing line between the time I spend preparing to play and the time I spend writing articles and doing the classes. The time I spend doing that extracurricular stuff that most APs don't increases my knowledge. If I weren't a writer or teacher, my skill set would be much smaller. And I'm actually pretty sure that's true for Richard himself. He's a writer, and he's preparing for the radio show. And every now and then, in that process, nuggets come by his attention, and he can take advantage of it. All right, another question. It's not Gambling with an Edge related, but is there any chance Ultimate X and Quick Quads will be included into Video Poker for Winners software? I wish. Video Poker for Winners was financed by VideoPoker.com. They lost quite a bit of money on it for a variety of reasons. And they've just taken a major hit financially because the patent on triple play machines expired last year. Last year. Although I've asked several times to bring out an enhanced version of Video Poker for Winners, I'm not optimistic that it's going to happen. Okay. Another listener question. And we got a lot of these, and I'm really glad you guys came through with all these questions. They want to know what Richard and I think about the casino credit system markers and the involvement of that system with incidents of well-to-do problem gamblers being taken to the cleaners like certain professional athletes. Okay, I regularly use markers. Since in video poker, you have to give up your ID for jackpots of $1,200 and higher. I've long since bit the bullet on that, and I'm not shy about giving my ID to casinos. Since I'm well known as a gambler who plays for relatively high stakes, and my face is relatively well known from classes and stuff, lots of people know that I might have cash on me. So I basically don't carry cash to the casino, but I get the cash once I'm in the casino via the marker system. If I do get robbed, I'm not going to lose too much. If I win, then I'll pay off the marker. If I'm down, I may pay off part of the marker, such as, say, I took a marker for $20,000, and at the end of the day, I had $15,000 of cash. I very well might give the $15,000 to the casino as a partial pay and now owe $5,000. Now, there are promotions, but not recently that I know about, where casinos give you special deals if you're a credit player. They like credit players. In the same way that a poker player, a no-limit poker player, would like it if I showed up with $1,000 in cash in front of me instead of $200, because that extra $800 is money he can get. Casinos like credit players because they figure they're going to get that money. Now, I am aware that some people can't handle credit. And I am aware that gambling is an addiction. I wish these people did not have these problems, but I don't think my using credit makes me responsible for these people or these problems any more than me enjoying a glass of wine makes me responsible for everybody who's an alcoholic. Richard?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question is, are some casinos predatory in going after people with gambling problems? And clearly they are. You know, the case of Ted Forrest at the Wynn, where they gave him credit for money that they knew he didn't have, and he lost it, and, you know, now he's in trouble over it. So, yes, sometimes casinos act in a predatory way and go after people using credit, but,
Or give him markers when he's blind drunk. If you've been in a casino at all, you've seen this.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure. Well, way of the world. I mean,
all right.
We need losers for us to be winners. So,
all right. Somebody else asked if I had any thoughts of the future of video poker pay tables in Las Vegas on and off the strip, and does anybody really care?
Well, certainly the video poker players care.
I certainly care. And I still look to playing video poker as my major source of income. The games are tightening left and right, but there's still some opportunities. Most of the opportunities are grind them out affairs, or the casino is offering a one-off promotion that is more generous than they thought it was. I sometimes write about these after they're gone. I'm not interested in telling others about the mistakes I found when they're still alive, because I don't want the competition when it's still going on. Do you care about video poker pay schedules, Richard?
No, I think it's, you know, very much like what's happening with every other game. You know, blackjack going to 6-5, roulette going to 000, the odds going down on the crap tables. Yeah, it's the trend.
Now, here's a question for Richard. They want to know your thoughts on Japan legalizing casinos.
Wow. Well, first of all, for 35 years, since I first went to London, I said that London is a gold mine that no one has figured out how to get the gold out of the mine. There's always been huge, huge action in London. They've always been very paranoid about Americans. Many of the clubs are still private clubs, so there's difficulty to actually win a significant amount of money in London. I think Japan will dwarf London. I think Japan will be a platinum mine instead of a gold mine. I think it'll be very difficult for a Caucasian to take money out of there. Just as an example, the horse racing in Japan is more than triple what the revenue from horse racing there is more than triple what it is in the United States, or I mean the handle. You know, they bet on boat racing and bicycle racing and
electronic
everything you
games.
Can think of. Yeah, and pachinko is just enormous. So I think it'll be huge, and I think there'll be the potential for a lot of money, just as in Macau, you know, there has been that potential, you know, most for the advantage players, most of it, I guess, is going to poker players over there. But yeah, so I think Japan will be huge. And I did business in Japan in the 80s. I used to send shows over there. So I really like Japan, and I'm eager to go back.
Very good. We're going to take a brief break for commercials, but as a teaser for when we come back, we're going to ask Richard the question that was asked by 6 different people this week, namely his gambling relationship with James Grosjean. So if you're interested in hearing about that, you might want to stick around till after the commercial. South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else has. In January, from Sundays through Wednesdays, 3 a.m. to 3 a.m., there's a $500,000 spin to win promotion. 500 points earned on a slot machine or 2,000 points earned on a video poker gives you one spin on the virtual wheel that is actually takes place at your machine. You may spin up to 4 times a day. Spins are either free play, ranging between $5 and $100, or points, 2,500 to 100,000 points, which mean basically $7.50 to $300 in value. Prizes are downloaded directly to your machine. You must play off the free play within 2 weeks or you lose it. There will be 2 times points, Martin Luther King Day, Monday, January 16th for video poker, midnight to midnight, no limits. The next semester of free video poker classes will be on Wednesday, start January 25th, and go for 9 weeks after that. It's going to be 2 classes this semester never taught before, namely 9-7 double bonus quick quads, and 8-6 Bonus Poker Deluxe Ultimate X. At videopoker.com, It's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get corrections on most of the games. The game of the week is 5-play wheel poker with quick quads. This is a 7-coin per line game. That one of those extra coins is for wheel poker. The other extra coin is for quick quads, where you get a 4-of-a-kind or a quick quad, and you get to spin the wheel. The key to figuring out the strategy, you need to get an estimate of what the wheel pays on average. You actually can do that if you're a gold member. On gold members, they give you the return for several different games. So using like the video poker for, nope, not that one. Using the Wizard of Odds strategy calculator, you can plug in for quick quads. Let's say your first guess was the return was an extra 200 coins per spin. You can add 200 to the return on each of the quads and each of the quick quads and see what the return is. If that's not high enough, well, then you add 230 or 250. You do this a couple times and you're going to get a real good estimate of what the what the average spin is, and you can figure out the game exactly, and then you can actually plan the strategy. I have not done it yet. It just occurred to me today as I was preparing the commercials to do it. Perhaps I will write about that in one of my articles. This might be easier for people to read it than it is to hear it on the radio. All right, Richard. Several people have asked about you and James Grossjean. They want to know all the secrets of what you do and all these secret games and where you play it. Now, I know you're not going to say everything, but what can you say?
I'm not sure what the question is, actually. If the question is, what games do you play? I mean, obviously, I'm not going to talk about that, but... You know, I will say he is a very private guy, which is why he has not been on our show the last 4 or 5 years. He has said that once his next book comes out, he will come on the show. I'll probably have to remind him of that because it's been 2 years since he's been – actually, he's been talking about this book for 4 years or something, and it still isn't ready yet. So eventually – we will get him on the show, I think. I'm not sure. As I say, I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, there was an article written recently about you two playing card craps. And people want to know if there's anything you can tell us that wasn't in that article that would be interesting to our listeners.
Not really. I mean, I did see one of the emails made some reference about, you know, sort of sneaking off into the bathroom and comparing notes and to come up with a way to beat a particular game. And I will say, although that has happened at one time or another over the years, you know, he's a very meticulous and thorough person. So that game, he spent dozens, if not hundreds of hours, analyzing that game. This was not just like, oh, looky here, let's throw down some bets. So, as I say, he's a very thorough and meticulous person and probably, not probably, knows more about card craps than any person alive, I would bet. You know, he's... without question, the best player that I've ever played with or met by a mile. I mean, there's just no one in his league as far as I'm concerned. So
when you hooked up with him for the Card Craps play that was written about. How long did you have to practice until you had all the signals down and knew what to do and translate his complicated strategy into action?
10 minutes.
That's pretty tough, huh?
Yeah. No, I mean, he you know, basically he did all the work. That was the bottom line. You know, he did all the work, and the, you know, the way that came about was really for the article. You know, that particular play, obviously Michael Kaplan was there with us to write the article, you know, about it, and Michael Kaplan wanted an article about, you know, what went into going and beating a game. And rather than just go beat a blackjack game, which is kind of normal, you know, James found this game and thought, you know, well, I won't be giving up much, you know, by exposing this particular game, because the particulars of how to beat that game were very particular, and, you know, there probably wasn't going to be some other game that it might ruin. So, yeah, anyway, so that's how it came about.
Good. And all right, so let's move on to something else. Somebody asked, are comps for Las Vegas locals better or worse than for out-of-state player? This particular listener had two IDs, one for California and one for Nevada, with a Las Vegas address. He wanted to know if it mattered which one he showed in terms of getting cash-like incentives like gift cards or free play or checking into a comped room. Now, for me, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. Some casinos treat locals better, and some treat out-of-towners better. Since I'm so well-known, I'm only carrying Nevada ID, and I haven't looked into specifically how the casinos vary on this. You're right to ask questions, but I don't have any good information about this. Richard, do you have anything?
Well, I agree 100%. It depends on the particular casino, and it also depends on what you're after. So, for example, if you're interested in high-end rooms, like at the Bellagio or the Venetian or the Wynn, I think you're going to have a better shot with an out-of-state ID, if that's part of what you're interested in. Kind of a rule of thumb, which there are going to be a million exceptions to every rule of thumb, but a rule of thumb is you're better with out-of-state on the Strip and better with in-state off the Strip. Although I'm not counting the M as part of the Strip. but yeah, that's sort of a general rule. But a lot of it, I think you just have to network with other people and say, and we're actually dealing with this issue a lot in my house currently, because as I mentioned, my son and his girlfriend have started playing. And so some of these places where we really don't know, one of them will sign up as in-state, and one of them will sign up as out-of-state, and we'll be able to compare notes.
Although one of them is a male and one of them is a female, and that can have its own
that's true.
Dynamics. But you go with what you got.
Right.
All right. Another question. If a player gets restricted or no-mailed from a casino, then if he and she goes and plays anyway, do you know if the person gets back on the mailing list, if it's possible, or are they going to be permanently restricted? My answer to this is every case is different. I know that's a big help. But remember, it's people who are restricting you, not casinos. If a marketing director took the lead in restricting you for some reason, there's a decent chance that a new marketing director might be convinced to take another chance on you. Also, during the restriction process itself, it's usually best just to shut up and take it. After several months and when emotions have quieted, then you can approach the relevant casino employees, sometimes by telephone if you've been trespassed. And you might ask if there's any way you can get back into the system. Now, one example, perhaps you've been restricted because you monopolized winning in the drawings. Perhaps you could get back in if you agreed not to participate in the drawings anymore. That may or may not be an acceptable deal to you, depending on how important the drawings were to the reason you played there. But it might be one door back in.
Yeah, it really is going to depend on why you were restricted in the first place. In terms of blackjack, it's really, really rare that you get unrestricted. I mean, I just never hear of that happening. Sometimes you can get un-86'd, where you can call and say, look, I want to be able to eat in the restaurants and go to the show. And, you know, sometimes they'll take that off your back. But to be able to go in and play again, if it happened because you're a card counter, pretty rare, I would say, that you're going to get you're just not going to get allowed to go play blackjack again. I mean, you can give up on that idea. And this goes back to there was a similar question from a guy who got 86'd at a Caesars property, and. Uh-huh. He's a poker player, and now he can't play in the World Series of Poker. This happens more often than you would think. There are quite a number of poker players who have learned to count cards, and for some reason, they still are out there using a player's card. And Caesars has been pretty nasty about 86ing people universally, which just shows kind of their stupidity, right? I mean, why would you not want guys to come play in the World Series of Poker where they're just paying you money with no variance to you? But some of those people have been able to get the 86 lifted in order to get back into the World Series of Poker.
On that subject, you need to have a Total Rewards card to get into the World Series of Poker. But it's a benefit to having a Diamond card. There's a Diamond and 7-star lines when you're signing up. And there's so many people there, having a Diamond or 7-stars card can save you hours and hours and hours of waiting in line.
Yeah.
So if you're in the World Series, it is useful to get at least Diamond status. And then basically, if you want to keep your welcome at Caesars, at the World Series, probably stop playing at Caesars property because you're risking your welcome at the World Series.
Well, or don't go count cards to get your Diamond status, right? I mean, realize the Diamond status has value. Think of it as, I'm playing in order to do this, and play a spread if the game that you're playing is blackjack. Play a spread that's small enough to get your Diamond status, but not big enough to get you 86 from the place. So, which
right.
brings up a
but,
question.
But once you get that, stop playing or stop using your card.
Yeah, or continue playing in the way you were because you might want to stay on a comp while you're at the World Series and have your meals comped and things like that. I mean, read the book Comp City. That it's old, but the ideas are still the same, and you can find a way to do that. But that also brings up a question that people ask a lot, which is whether to use a player's card or not. And I realize it's getting harder and harder to be a refusal if you are a card counter. And eventually, my opinion on this will change. Eventually, you just won't be able to play without a card. But currently, if you're counting cards, I think the only way you can do it is to play as a refusal and just hit and run. And get in and get out as quickly as possible and don't use a player's card. Certainly, if you're going to want to use your player's card for other things like the World Series of Poker and things like that. The other thing that eventually my opinion is going to change on is facial recognition software, which for years I've been saying it just doesn't work. Well, Ted Whiting now claims that they have this new facial recognition in Maryland that does work. Maybe he's right. Maybe it does. And eventually it will work. The day will come when facial recognition works. But right now it doesn't, other than maybe in Maryland. I don't know. The problem is every guy who gets barred thinks it's because it happened with facial recognition software, when in reality it probably happened because there's a flyer sitting on the desk of the guy up in surveillance, and he just sees your picture and says, oh yeah, here he is, and go throw him out.
And for those who don't recognize the name Ted Whiting, he's the corporate director of security for all of the MGM properties. All right.
A guy we'd love to have on the show, but unfortunately the corporate overlords probably won't allow it.
That's likely true. He has been asked, and his response is, well, I'll take it up with my bosses, and if they think it's to the benefit of the corporation, then yeah, I'll be glad to come on.
But hey, we'd love to have any other surveillance guys on the show, and you don't have to use your real name. We could just have you on as the anonymous surveillance guy. We've done that before.
And will that be a day that you call in, Richard, and not show up?
I probably will be out of town and have to Skype in that day.
That's right. You were going to be sick that day.
Yeah.
Okay. Another question. Do you guys know if there's such a thing as an advantage slot machine player? If so, is there a person within an inner circle that is willing to be a guest? And our answer to that is, must have missed last week's show.
Right.
Peter Liston, such a player. Now, he didn't reveal too much of his methodology and was basically attempted to market his how to beat the slot system. Do I believe he knows what he's talking about and could teach you to do it? Yes, I do. Do I know this for an absolute fact? No, I don't. During the show, near the end, we discussed how to get in touch with Peter should you wish to. And so that's last week's show if you want to listen to it.
Yeah, and he was on once before, a few years before, and did talk a little bit more about how to beat certain types of slot machines. So you might want to listen to that episode as well.
All right. Another question. And this is going to be our last one for today. And then we're going to pick up where we left off for our next week's show. But as we said earlier, you have to wait an extra second because there's a leap second being added Saturday night. And the last question is, how did the Gambling with an Edge radio show get started? And why did each of you end up deciding to do it? And stuff like that. And as I'm reading the question, I see I have a really long answer. So I don't know if we should we do
yeah,
it this
maybe
week?
Maybe we should save that one for next week.
All right. So that'll be the first one we do next week. So let's give a quickie one. What is Richard and my position on paid parking? Do you want to handle this first or should I?
Sure, I'll go first. I don't like to pay for anything, so so of course I don't like it. But it doesn't surprise me. Back to the worsening of pay tables on video poker and worse rules at blackjack and every other game in the casino, they're going to try to make money every single place they can. And, you know, they'll try until it doesn't work, and then they'll have to back up on some of the things that they charge for. But as long as people are willing to pay, they'll be willing to take the money.
So while I'm mostly in agreement with Richard, I have a slightly different perspective. Absolutely nobody likes a price increase. And with that said, I'm not personally bothered by paid parking in Las Vegas. It's very much like a resort fee. And I only stay at casino hotels where I get the resort fee waived. To me, it's an extra benefit of being at a higher tier level in that particular slot club. At many casinos, diamond level status, or whatever they call it at that casino, is going to give you free parking and waive your resort fee, among other things. Now, if I want to go to dinner at an MGM property, and to do so I have to pay for parking, that's probably going to be a showstopper. On a personal level, though, it's rare that I pay real cash money for food. I play enough in enough places that I get food comps in a variety of spots. And since I've been encouraged not to play at MGM properties for some reason, I haven't eaten or bought a meal there for over 15 years. The extra price for parking, in this case, wouldn't be a showstopper for me because I wasn't going to be there anyway. Although I'm not a customer for meals at MGM properties, there are many people who are. The restaurants and other venues there will definitely feel the pinch from this rule. It wouldn't surprise me that down the road, they're going to waive some of this parking fees by validating at the restaurants and other places.
You would think. If you're going to go in and spend $100 or $200 in a restaurant, you would think that the casino would at least pick, you know, allow you to park for free.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. Don't know for sure. All right. So that's it for this week. It is more of the same next week. I enjoyed this. And I'm especially looking forward to next week because it's going to be some stories from the good old days. And I love Richard stories. So thank you, Richard. It was fun today. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.